Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are not Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard. We are Femi Ebebefe and Dustin Sweelson, filling in for the fellas on this Friday of Memorial Day weekend. Dustin, how we doing? You can start to feel, I know it's not right now illustrated behind us, but you can start to feel walking into the property here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas that this is a special weekend here as we're kicking off summer.
Oh, well, also, if you're going to sign up for the contest, you got to get in early if you want to get one of those hats. I waited last year. I did not get a hat, remember?
Same.
Contest opening up. Got to get in early if you want one of those caps, because odds are it'll be the only thing I walk away from at the end of this thing. But a couple questions to start off. First of all, are we sitting too close?
No, I think we're proper distance, right? Luke has given us the thumbs up behind
I think of the song Too
Glasses.
Close from back in the day.
When Baby, you find out what
I get so excited. You got to read between the lines. Secondly, Femi and I walked into this studio. Stormy Bonantoni was by herself for the last 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
My girl had that thermostat on 71 degrees in May.
It's a certified sauna.
Look, man, I'm up 67 units, and I'm not talking about my bets. I'm talking about the LBs lately. I can't be affording 71 degrees before a three-hour show. I'm going to have to go Joe Cirillo or Ben Wilson this thing, and I'll do a few buttons over here.
Shout out our guy, Ben Wilson. Joe Cirillo, who I work with on Sundays, Live Bet Sunday. Make sure you check that out later on, noon to 4 West Coast time. That's 3 for 7 East Coast, for those of you out there who can't do the math. definitely a button-down guy, but I tend to be a button-down guy as well.
Yeah,
let the chest hair out a little bit.
You know what?
Not today, but, you know, maybe on Sunday.
I do it more in the personal life. I should probably do it more here, although I've been told by management, less about you personally, we don't like it, more about the actual bets. So that's why I should probably button this button back up. We're going to leave it for now.
Well, Dustin Sweetelson, the nameless, faceless widget here on VSiN as we're hanging out. No personal talk here from your boy. I think that might be broken over these next 3 hours. But we're hoping you guys hang out with us across these 3 hours. As always, make sure to watch us, VSiN.com/watch, the VSiN Watch app. You can listen live as we're in your ear 24-7 on Sirius XM channel 158. And hit us up on Twitter. At VSiN Live on Twitter. He's at Dustin Sweetelson. I'm at Femi Ebebefe. Let us know how you're liking the show. Let us know what you're betting. Let us know what your plans are for this extended weekend. We also have our entire crew with us behind the glass. Our producer, Luke DeVosta, with us on the ones and twos. How did that work out? Mitch and Pauly got the day off, but Luke out here just grinding away on a Friday, Memorial Day weekend.
Bad planning by Luke. Because it's always more work to have to work in two new pieces to the show. Like, just bail at that point and make someone else pick up the dirty work here, man.
Luke doing yeoman's work, which we appreciate. But for Luke there, if I were him, I'd be like, what the hell did I just do? But hey, we're going to have a good time, though, nonetheless, as we have three guests that will be joining us throughout these 3 hours, starting at 4:30 Eastern time. That's 30 minutes from right now. NBA betting analyst over at Covers, John Mettler, will check in to give us his thoughts on tonight's massive Game 3 between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs. Series tied at 1. Cannot wait to watch that game later this evening. Plus, can the Cavs get back into the series against the New York Knicks? We'll ask John that coming up in 30 minutes. 1 hour from right now, hockey insider Jeff Merrick will be joining the program. Going to check in to give us his handicap on tonight's Game 2, Vegas and Colorado. No Cale Makar for the Colorado Avalanche. He was out there in morning skate. We thought he might be able to play tonight. He was ruled out by head coach Jared Bednar earlier this afternoon. And then at 5:30 Eastern, World Series champion executive David Sampson, host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson, will give us his thoughts and assess where we're at in Major League Baseball as we usually kind of take the 10,000-foot view on Memorial Day weekend. Well, we've arrived, and now it's time to look big picture in the bigs.
Yeah, this is about the point of the baseball season where you have to stop saying, well, you know, it's early.
Yeah, it ain't.
It's starting to get late now for a few of these teams. The identities are still somewhat forming. Just because you're out of it now doesn't mean you'll be out of it later. Plenty of moves to be made. That's where I want to hit with Sampson, because we've got a CBA coming up at the end of the year. We probably don't have baseball, at least for a full season next year, and there's very likely a salary cap coming.
I hope you're wrong with that assertion, by the way.
My question for him is going to be, how many of these teams that are already outspending everyone else are going to continue to have that advantage and go all the way in the rest of the way and just completely overload their rosters, knowing that once the salary cap comes into place, they're going to have to tear it down either way. So they might as well just put everything to the middle and make bold moves and go for a ring.
So you're saying to spend like there's no tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the Yankees are the number one team I'm looking at. With the pressure on Cashman, with the pressure on Aaron Boone to finally get over the hump.
Pressure on Aaron Judge.
Yeah, the pitching looking like it is. You have to capitalize on these opportunities and windows. And I think for the Yankees, they are the biggest team, one of the biggest teams that takes a hit if we do eventually get a salary cap there.
Yeah, it's a good time in New York if you like baseball, if you like basketball as well after what we saw last night. How about the New York Knicks?
How about?
Go New York, go New York, go! They win game two over the Cleveland Cavaliers, 109-93. They cover the number. A lot of betting movement on Cleveland, like a lot of activity on the Cavs. Got all the way down to 5 yesterday after this one closed 6.5 for game number one. Didn't matter, though. The New York Knicks win. They cover, as it will now be known forevermore as the Josh Hart game. 26 points, 4 rebounds, and 7 assists in the victory.
Knicks minus 750 to win the series. And I got to tell you, Femi, as a New York Knicks fan, as a New York Knicks backer, 15-1 to win the title. Also have the Cavs 6-1 to win the East. I didn't like this matchup. Cleveland's deeper. Cleveland's better. They have more scoring options. I actually like a lot of their role guys more than the Knicks role guys, at least in terms of adding something offensively. And they've been completely punked because the one glaring issue that the Cleveland Cavaliers have, it's not coaching, it's not talent, it's what's between the ears. They are a mentally weak and soft team. And adding James Harden to the fold didn't really add to that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I saw a tweet, and it's been making the rounds like ever since Denver lost to Minnesota. And it's like, hey, like throw out the spreadsheets, throw out the analytics, throw out like the playoffs and basketball is all about who's a bleep and who's not a bleep. And like you kind of joke about it, but it's sort of true. Once you get to this round of the postseason, because all these teams are really good. All these teams kind of look at these things and they're all like well coached schematically. It's kind of like who's tougher? And so far through the two games, it's been the New York Knicks by far.
Okay, we're going to bring this back up when we talk about the Spurs later, because the Spurs are a team that's young, that the one knock against them about them getting it to a title and winning it is that they haven't had to climb before. If you look at the Knicks, this core together, they have had to deal with adversity. They've had to deal with the climb. They're doing everything, the tent poles we look for in teams that traditionally win championships. That's this group built on friendship and chemistry and vibes from Villanova. It's working, and it's working with these runs. They went on another run again. 18-0 to start the third, yep. Pulled away from the Cavaliers. We're seeing this now from this team. When they get streaky and get hot, they're never out of a game because they can do that, and they can put away opponents because they can do that. When I watch this Knicks team, there's a lot of flaws to be pointed out. But one thing that you can't deny is they understand how to play with each other and they understand adversity. That is the complete opposite of what I'm seeing out of Cleveland right now.
The message from Cavaliers camp, as we heard it at the podium from Kenny Atkinson, from Donovan Mitchell last night, was, hey, we just missed shots. Like, we had a lot of opportunities. Sure. We didn't knock down our shots. Kenny Atkinson even brought up shot quality. I thought we were about to have him on as a guest here at VSiN to talk about shot quality. Maybe we'll have Kenny Atkinson on during the college basketball season.
It's never good when a head coach sounds like a bettor trying to defend why their bet was the right side.
Yes. He's like, hey, like a good bet, bad result is what Kenny Atkinson was saying. But conversely, on the other side, the New York Knicks were not talking like that. Josh Hart, who was the star of the game, his comments afterwards, very, very interesting. Here's what he had to say after the Knicks went up 2-0 in the series.
I'm never a huge analytics guy. At a certain point, they're a lamppost to a drunk person. You can lean on them, but it won't get you home. So at a certain point, you got to have a good feel for the game.
Oh, my God, bro.
I mean, even Carl Anthony Towns can't believe how he pulled that. And he did credit Jay Wright, apparently, yep. Is the one that told him that quote back when he was playing at Villanova with Jalen Brunson and those guys. But I think he's right. The analytics, they're a tool in the toolbox. They're a lamppost to lean on, if you will, but it's not going to take you home.
Look, I like analytics as much as anyone who like moderately likes them. I'm not someone who believes
they're end-all, be-all.
But first of all, I think a lot of people use it as a hedge. I think it's a big issue I have with quoting analytics. Well, the analytics said it was right. Okay, do you know how many times I've had numbers to back up a bet being the correct side of a bet and hasn't worked out, but a situational human aspect of a game like rest or bounce back or whatever it may be winds up being right way more? You can quote all the numbers you want. At the end of the day, you got to play basketball. And who's the better basketball player, who's the better basketball team? That's what we're going to find out in this series. Now, Josh Hart, at an all-time game. Josh Hart was out of his mind. 26, 4, 7, 5 of 11 from 3. And I think here's what's really important. Good coaches make adjustments. Kenny Atkinson has failed now on two occasions to make adjustments in this series. Yep. Obviously, the big run in game number one. But game two, they dared Josh Hart to shoot the three. He missed his first three. They kept leaving him open. He started making them, and they still weren't defending him. That's how he ended up with a playoff career high. The Knicks 9-0, and Hart scores 20-plus each game. And he was knocking down threes. I don't know if that's a recipe that can continue, but I would say Cleveland, at some point when he starts shooting those threes, you have to defend him a little bit differently.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a blackjack player, right? You know, yeah. He's playing blackjack. It's like, hey, well, like, I'm not going to hit. And it's like, I get it, but you might lose. And in this instance, like, even though mathematically, like, having Josh Hart shoot a bunch of threes, you would think in theory, good sign for Cleveland. But last night happened to be one of those bad times.
And with that, with Josh Hart, Alex Caruso, the impacts he's had in the other Western Conference final. I was on VSiN Live, Mad Dog Sports Radio, with Patrick Maher last night. We were talking about Caruso being a potentially top five role player of all time. So I sent it in the group text earlier about who are the best all-time role guys in the history of the NBA. So create your starting five, tweet us at Femi Abebefe, at Dustin Sweetelson, at VSiN Live. Who is your role player starting five? Because Josh Hart might be on my five.
So I did not go with current guys. I went with throwback guys. Well, we'll get into that conversation a little bit later on. But to put a button on what we saw, put a bow, I should say, put a button on. Wow.
Button works too.
That's a whole C-Web classic there.
I mean, the button closes sometimes, not for me these days, not with this jacket on, I can tell you that.
He's up 67 units if you missed that one earlier. But to put a bow on it, I mean, you look at how last night's game played out, as poorly as Cleveland played. They only lost by 16.
I'm just saying.
They only lost by 16. So, yes, Dustin Sweetelson, New York Knicks fan, let's not hang the banner just yet. We'll talk more about that when we come back here, as we're just getting started on Follow the Money.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Circus 2026 football contest open today. And if you don't have to live in Las Vegas to play for it, after you registered in-person registration, sorry, after your required in-person registration, Winner's Circle Proxy handles your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. I was getting distracted by what's happening at Wrigley Field. Welcome back. This is Follow the Money. Femi Bebefe, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you guys here on VSiN. I thought we had action there for a second. But
we almost did.
Nice play by the outfielder there for the Houston Astros. As one down, I believe.
Yeah, one down in the one ninth down here. It was a 3-0 count on Michael Busch. He took a borderline pitch for a strike and then flew out to left. So glycerine. I just want to mix in a glycerine reference for Bush.
Yeah,
I know people heard me say Bush. They thought I was going to go in another direction. They got very nervous. But no, I was just going to reference the musician, the band in the 90s. What were their two songs? It was Hey Glycerine.
I was like, yeah, your guess is as good as mine.
It was Glycerine and Hey Jealousy. No, it's the Gin Blossoms. I'm confusing them with the Gin Blossoms.
Well, I've never heard of these songs.
No, you know Bush.
I feel like I don't know if you can play it, because I think you're typing now. I'm getting nervous that you might actually try to pull something up here.
The other one's Machine Head. Airwaves. Everyone knows Machine Head.
Well, then you have to give me more.
I gotta remember how it goes. It's been a minute.
I'm like, bro, that could have been a cartoon. It could be a song. It could be a movie. I don't know.
It was. Oh God, how does it start? It's a guitar riff that you will know. I'll play it for you in the break. Trust me, our audience, they love Bush.
And I'm sure they're cursing me right now for not knowing this off the top of my head.
Sacrilegious. So I told Kelly Bidlin a bit I used to do back in the day when I did very small market radio in Valdosta, Georgia. I'd be like, how many people were listening? So I'd come back from break and I'd play like Metallica. And I'd be like,
oh, yeah, I've heard
I'd be
that.
Like, this is my favorite. Yeah. This is my favorite AC/DC song of all time. And then the phone lines would light up like, it's Metallica, you moron. How do you not know? And like, that's the game you play.
So Luke played a song in our ears. So that's like the breathe in, breathe
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's it.
Breathe. Okay, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I used to play high school football, so I had to be in the weight room. And that's like on the weight room soundtrack playlist, because we would try to play hip hop. Our coach, not as big of a fan, because sometimes sometimes some dancing would be happening going on. He's like, hey, you'd be lifting weights.
Not having fun.
Yeah. Like, how dare you have fun in the off season? So then he'd put on his AC/DC, all his stuff. I'm like, all right, whatever. Like Back in Black. Okay, cool. This is awesome. Like, yeah. And I know they're good songs, but it's just not my cup of tea.
Well, yeah, it's ironic that the coach is using the music that fires him up for the players to be fired up that don't relate to it at all.
I'm like, bro, we're the ones that are lifting. what's going on here?
What position did young...
Throw that young Jeezy on, dog.
What position did a young Femi Abebefe play in high school football?
Oh, I was an offensive tackle and defensive tackle, man. Oh. We were both sides of the ball, baby. Baby, we were all league, all area. We were out there in them streets. Did not make all state, though, because of politics. But, hey, had a good career.
Oh. Oh, wait. Yeah. What's the politics? What's the politics?
Not politics in like 2026. This is like old fashioned politics, like, you know, like favoritism. And
oh,
like
not
that.
Like the New York Giants quarterback being involved today?
I did see that. and that's all I'll say about that.
Final score, Houston 4, Cubs 2. Bailed you out there.
All right. So fly the L, as Brewers fans like to say. Dude, I have a buddy who's a Brewers fan. He always says fly the L whenever the Cubs lose.
This is an issue. I know Chicago went on a little bit of a run here. They're still 8 games above 500, right? Everyone in that division looks like
they have cooled off.
But let's look now. We're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 6 in a row. 10 of 12 they've lost. And remember, this is a team that has pitching woes, right? Justin Steele hasn't thrown a pitch this season. They're dealing with injuries to that rotation. I just don't see how they withstand this, especially once you get into the summer months. You're asking so much out of Imanaga, who, by the way, they didn't pick up his contract for next year. And then you have Edward Cabrera, who I think is highly overrated. And I think they're going to wind up losing that trade, trading Owen Casey down there to Miami. I don't know how this team just relies on their lineup to get it done when they're not good enough and they don't have the arms that you need to get through a summer here. I'd be looking at Milwaukee still in that division. I know the price
is
a little bit different.
What is that price? Because obviously, like 10 days ago, it must have been really, really nice.
It shortened up a lot.
So let's pull this up here over at DraftKings Futures as we hit through the tabs, divisions, and the NL Central. So the Cubs are still your favorite, hanging on barely at plus 120. The Brewers plus 135. I mean, the Brewers, I mean, the standings, they're in first place, right? Like, it's like, what are we doing with that? Like, this is a tried and true Milwaukee team that, I mean, they had the best record in the NL last year. Like, this playoff stuff aside, because I don't believe in the Brewers in October, but the months of April through September, like, the Brewers are pretty damn good. Like, I feel like the Brewers should be the favorites at this point, no?
Okay, I'm with you. I'm a big Brewers guy. I usually have a Brewers bet every year. This is the first year I don't have any Brewers action right now. I think I had them 40-1 to win the NL last year, which, by the way, that stung when they got swept. So it wasn't really fun.
Yeah. But every October for Milwaukee.
You factor in Mizorowski at the top. Logan Henderson goes tonight against the Dodgers. That's a good test for a young kid with a live arm. And I know Woodruff's injured, and I know they've got injuries to guys like Priester and whatnot in the minors. We don't know when or how we're going to see them later. But they just find a way, man. They find a way to put lipstick on a pig. They develop bats everywhere. They play the splits game. They have athletic dudes who make things happen, taking extra bases. It's a bit of an old school approach. I'll never doubt them, but I would say this. I think the Pittsburgh Pirates are in a very unique standing this year. And I didn't get on them preseason to make the playoffs like I wanted to. The number kept moving. It took on a lot of steam.
They were kind of like the hip team.
They were plus 280 when I looked initially to make the playoffs. And the thing got all the way down like plus 120. I want to say 105, somewhere in that range. They're 2 games above 500. And I think with the lockout coming, again, this is going to be my theory, and we'll run it by David Sampson when we have him on later on in the show.
Coming up in 10 minutes.
But could Pittsburgh just be going all in here and capitalizing on this run and trying to do something before everything kind of changes down the road and capitalizing on not having to pay Paul Skeens yet? Because remember, we're going to be 1 year post this lockout, whatever it is, however long it is, that we're now one less year of a cheap Paul Skeens under contract for them.
But do they strike you as the type of organization that would do that? Because,
no.
Like, the Dodgers and Yankees do.
No,
the Pirates do not.
No, their owner, and we had John Smoltz on last week, 2 weeks ago, to talk about it, and he said, I love the Pirates, but until that ownership proves to me they're willing to do it, I can't trust that they'll do it. I just think that division's there for the taking. I think they're a playoff team. And as long as they have Paul Skeens, kind of like the Tigers, right? If you can line it up for three games in a seven-game series to have Paul Skeens, you have a very good chance of winning that series.
Yeah. I mean, he's as scary a pitcher as you'll find in Major League Baseball. And, like, the National League is loaded with those guys, but Skeens, at his A game, is still the best amongst them all. Like, that's why he won the Cy Young last year. He is a dangerous one. But how about that division, though? I mean, all the teams above 500 with, like, your Milwaukee. Like, we usually think about this division as an afterthought, the NL Central. It's like, oh, the Brewers will take care of business, whatever. Or if the Cubs are good, then people get excited. But, I mean, even Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, they're all above 500.
It's crazy.
Like, it's a little jumbled mess there. 4.5 games separate the Brewers from the last place Cincinnati Reds and Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I just have this thing with the Cubs where I enjoy watching them fail. I don't even, they've never done anything to me.
Have you ever been out to Wrigley?
No.
You gotta go, man.
Chicago,
gotta go.
This time of year, this is when you go to Chicago.
Yeah, it's
this
best.
Is the time of year.
Oh my, I went 2 years ago, 4th of July week. Phenomenal. Yeah. I was telling Luke about this before the show. Like, it was a Friday game, so it was like this, like, it was like that 1:10 first pitch day game. We went out there, my wife and I, for brunch before the game started to Wrigleyville. Like, we did the whole, because we're staying over by River North along the river. Then we rode the L to Wrigleyville, like doing the whole, like, touristy, trying to be immersed in the Chicago experience. Went to brunch, walked over to the ballpark, hung out at one of the ballpark breweries or whatever that's close by.
Love that.
Had some beers, went to the game. Justin Steele, who you mentioned, pitched a complete game. They were taking on the Angels a couple years ago. Complete game for Justin Steele.
Wow.
Went to the Cubby Bar after the game. Party's still vibing. I was like, this, I don't know how people work on a Friday in Chicago, especially if you're on the north side. It was a phenomenal experience.
Quick search.
Gotta check it out.
Justin Steele, no relation to Lexington, according to my research here. But the Cubbies. Yeah, Wrigley, I have to go to Wrigley. I haven't been to a lot of the big stadiums, like a lot of the major ones. I got you with that one. Yeah, I haven't been to a lot of the big yeah, big boys.
We're all 14 one time.
Yeah. Hey, look, if you're gonna lay it out there, I'm gonna hit it out of the park. I do have to get to Wrigley. Chicago is one of my favorite cities in the world. I will leave it at that. Yeah. But if I'm betting anyone, I'm looking at Pittsburgh 9.5-1 to win the division. I don't think they're going quietly as we get into the summer months because of the pitching, because of the balance of the attack. I like their lineup. Bullpen concern, yeah, to some degree, but we'll see. We'll see with Pittsburgh. That's the shot that I would take 9.5-1 to win the division.
There are people in the audience who have no idea what the hell your quip just meant. And those people are pure.
I feel bad for them. They have not lived.
No, I don't. I'm actually jealous of those people.
Well, we got an email. I got an email from Michael Kristen who writes in, what's
please
the email?
Don't
FTM at VSiN.com. Yeah. FTM. He said, machine head. Words may not be right. He said, got a machine head better than the rest. Green to red machine head. He nailed it. That's the lyrics. Those are lyrics.
That's the breathe in, breathe out song? Or
breathe
is that,
in, yeah, okay. Breathe out. Yeah. Breathing. Feels like that was in Varsity Blues.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it was like classic, like 2000s. If you were in high school at that time, just like everyone was playing that song.
There goes my hero.
Is that them?
That's
or is
Foo
that
Fighters.
Somebody?
That's
I was gonna
Foo
say.
Fighters.
I was like, I'm pretty sure that's like my neck of the woods.
I'm like, just playing like the Friday Night Lights soundtrack that everyone had going on Friday nights in the pickup truck pulling up to the game.
Yeah. There you go. The Foo Fighters. Shout out to the Foo Fighters. Any other musical drops that you want to give us before we head to break?
No, but I'm seeing Ken Rosenthal with a report that maybe the Rays could be in the mix for Tarek Skubal in the trade market.
Yeah, I believe that when I see it.
Ooh, spicy.
The Rays getting active? I don't know about that one. We'll ask David Sampson that question when we come back here on Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. This is Follow the Money. Femi Bebefe, Dustin Sweetelson in for Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard. Hanging out with you guys on this Friday. The vibes are high. We got multiple shades of green out here.
A lot of green.
On the set as it's a it's reminiscent of like an Augusta National Friday over at the Masters. A tradition unlike any other. Although I don't know if this one will continue going forward. But we're going to have fun while we are here. But joining us right now to talk about the NBA playoffs, break down tonight's game, recap what we saw last night. It is our buddy John Mettler, NBA betting analyst over at Covers. And he's on Twitter at John Mettler. And he joins us via the Progressive Guest Line. John, thanks for hanging with us as always. And I want to start off with what we saw last night. The Knicks beating the Cavaliers to take a 2-0 series lead. You look at the betting market right now, DraftKings has it Knicks minus 750, Cavs plus 550. After what we saw in these first two games, do you think Cleveland can get back into the series? And is that plus 550 price looking enticing?
No, I don't think they can back into it. I think this might be over in five, if I'm being honest. I think the Cavs are done. I don't understand what the Cavs were even doing, because their whole issue the previous years was you have two offensive guards who can't play defense in the NBA playoffs, and then you trade, and they're small, and then you trade Darius Garland for James Harden, who also just doesn't play defense. I don't think they have an answer for Jalen Brunson. I don't know where you guys stand. I got flamed on TikTok because I was dunking on Evan Mobley. It's his back end of his fifth year, and offensively, I'm just like, where is his game at? Like, I mean, he's a lob threat. He makes good plays here and there. He'll have a poster dunk out of nowhere, but like, you're almost entering your sixth year now. Like, where's like your creation offense, the back line of their defense? That's the strength of it. I don't think they can go anywhere. They're a great team. They're a great regular season team. But when you get down to the final four, when Donovan Mitchell and James Harden are the one playing defense in your backcourt, I don't think you can win a series. I think the Knicks would take this in like five.
Oh, I love to hear it from you, John, the aggressiveness. So, you know, I'm a Knicks fan and I'm excited from what I'm seeing, but I have to remind myself, this is kind of like the NFL, the NFC title game. It was Rams versus Seahawks. We know the winner's winning the title. Of these two teams, we've got the Thunder and Spurs on the other side. Can the Knicks actually beat either of them?
Oh, so I think we're in like a triangle of matchups here where I don't think they can beat the Thunder. I think the Thunder take them out pretty easily. The Knicks, I do think they can beat the Spurs, though. And I think the Spurs are a bad matchup for the Thunder. So I think we might be headed for a Knicks-Spurs. I mean, the Spurs would obviously be the favorites. But the big matchup in that one is you can't let Wemby be a roam defender and just blow up everything in the paint. And that's where Karl-Anthony Towns and his shooting becomes huge, because he stretches the floor. You have Mitchell Robinson off the bench who could give him some fouls. But I think it's catch shooting that really plays there. I think if the Knicks get into a series with the Spurs, they would at least have a puncher's chance. Maybe they win it in seven. They're not going to blow them out or anything, but I do think they could get the Spurs.
Wow. That's high praise there for the New York Knicks, who, I mean, like 3-4 months ago, I don't think many people had them on the radar in terms of winning the title, but here we are, two wins away from the NBA Finals for the first time since 1999, and John telling us that he would like them if they get the matchup of the San Antonio Spurs. We're joined by John Mettler, NBA betting analyst over at Covers on Twitter, at John Mettlers. He's hanging with us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's go over to the West, because tonight's game, awesome. I cannot wait for this one. Series tied at one, game three, and you look at the betting market, it is the San Antonio Spurs who are your favorites. They're laying two over at many sportsbooks here at Circa. DraftKings has it at 1.5, totals at 218. We still don't know the injury status for Dylan Harper and De'Aaron Fox. It's unexpected that J-Dub, Jalen Williams, will be playing in this game. How do you see this one playing out from a betting standpoint? What do you like, side total and prop, Thunder and Spurs?
I like you said, the injuries are huge here because we do have three guys tagged questionable, so it's kind of hard. I thought the two was pretty accurate, assuming kind of De'Aaron Fox gets in there, maybe with a minutes restriction. Dylan Harper does play. I think if J-Dub is eventually ruled, like completely ruled out, they did say he's leaning more towards out than questionable. I feel like that's what will happen as well. I do think De'Aaron Fox and Dylan Harper are probably closer to in than questionable. So I think everything might break the Spurs way as we get closer to game time. We might see this bump up to three there. We're looking at the matchups for tonight. It's really, this Thunder are, I really, the Spurs are, have really tough matchups for the Thunder. The Thunder are built to stop the Denver Nuggets. That's kind of how they built out the roster, right? You have Lou Dort and Alex Caruso at the point of attack. You take out Jamal Murray. You have Hartenstein and Holmgren on the back line. They take out Jokic. That's kind of how they designed it. That lineup is kind of a problem against the Spurs because you can't really play Hartenstein and Holmgren at the same time, because Hartenstein's just not an offensive threat at all. Like, you want to keep him in there for his defense, but it allows Wemby to roam. It allows him to bother SGA's mid-range game. So, like, what do you do with the Holmgren Hartenstein? Do you split them up? Do you only put Hartenstein in? I think the Thunder, I think they're honestly in a lot of trouble in this series. This is not who they wanted to face. They rely off turnovers. And if the Spurs can get Dylan Harper and De'Aaron Fox back in this game, and they have three guards who can create, that is huge for kind of breaking down that point of attack defense where they can take out and suffocate one guard, but it's really hard when you have three that can create.
All right, but you like a prop in this game on Wemby. How do you want to attack the board with him in this situation, coming back home where he's not afraid to shoot? He showed us in game one, game on the line, not afraid to shoot. How are you betting on Wemby tonight?
Yeah, I think as I was joking off air, I was like, this is probably the squarest bet here. I'm going to go Wemby over 25.5 points. You saw them kind of fade Chet Holmgren a little bit, because like I was talking about, you can't have Wemby as a helping defender in the paint. So they actually went to Jay Will for a little more minutes than I thought they would, because he's a better shooter. You can put him in the corner and it kind of stops Wembanyama from playing that help defense. On the other end, I think that's a great matchup for Wembanyama if he's going against Jalen Williams on the other end. The other thing you like, you know, Hartenstein was like mugging him. The referees watched game tape too. He was all over him. The referees watched game tape too. I'd be shocked if they don't clean that up. And I, like I said, I do think Dylan Harper and De'Aaron Fox, this bet was kind of more on the injury report than Wembanyama, because I do think if those two get into the game, they're able to collapse the defense way more, get him easier buckets. Right now, his buckets are kind of hard because you only have the one guard, Stephon Castle, creating for him. If he gets all three in there, I think they can get him way easier buckets around the rim. 25.5. I do like his three-point shootings look pretty crisp in this series too. So I go Wembanyama over 25.5 points there. I think it was like -120. I thought it should be closer to like -160.
Well, let's live in like a hypothetical world here. We're going to find out at least in like 4 hours or so what who's playing in game three. But let's say that Fox and Harper are out there on the floor for San Antonio and J-Dub is out for the foreseeable future, given the fact that this is the fourth time that he's injured his hamstring. It sounds like you like San Antonio win this series. In how many games, though, John? Like what, where do you, is it Spurs in six? Is it Spurs in seven? Like, how long does this series go if San Antonio is healthy and J-Dub is out for OKC?
Yeah, I think with the Thunder having home court, I think I'd feel more comfortable saying seven. I think it's still a really good series. I don't think they blow them out, but I just do think they do have the matchups. And like you said, Jalen Williams, that's a huge problem for them losing that second creator. They've really relied on those role players hitting three-point shots in this series to kind of bail out that offense here. Like, Alex, everyone's joking after game one. They're like, can we really expect that type of performance from Wembanyama again? It's like, can you really expect that type of performance from Alex Caruso again? Like, Alex Caruso gave you 30 to send this game to overtime. So, like, Cason Wallace was knocking down shots. You know, Jared McCain, they're relying on a lot of role players to make shots. And now you're going on the road where, you know, typically role players don't shoot it as well. I think they're really going to miss that second creator because, like I said, Stephon Castle's a really good defender in himself. And he's a nightmare for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And also, Wemby can also now kind of focus on SGA. So, without J-Dub, I would have a really hard time backing the Thunder in this series.
Okay, with all the injury stuff up in the air, let's assume J-Dub's out. It feels like AJ Mitchell, Caruso, those are probably the two guys that benefit from that side. Let's live in another hypothetical world, as Femi framed it, where Harper and Fox are unable to go tonight for San Antonio. Is there someone who benefits from their absence? Because I was toying around with Harrison Barnes or Carter Bryant or maybe rebounds and assists for Castle because he's going to have to be that main facilitator. Who do you think benefits the most from a player prop perspective?
I would say Devin Vassell with his points. I thought Devin Vassell, it was about 14.5. I thought it was pretty close. Like, you could bet it, assuming, like, I think he had a half, like a small lean. If those players play, like, you could argue that there is an edge. So if they're out, I think for sure he's going to, that's a player prop you would want to target there at 14.5. It will obviously move if they're out, but I think you could argue that it's a good play even if those players play. So I think he took 12 threes last game. He needs to shoot. He's very clearly, you can tell with your eyes when you watch the game, he's been told by Mitch Johnson, you need to fire as many threes as possible, because he was taking contested threes and he knocked down six of them last game. So I would say Devin Vassell for sure.
John, we got about 45 seconds left. Who's going to win the NBA title? Because right now OKC is -105, Spurs +210, the Knicks +370. But based on what you've told us here in these 15 minutes, like, it sounds like you like San Antonio to win the West, and you said that the Knicks match up pretty well with the Spurs. Like, are you going Knicks here to win the title? Are they finally going to end the drought out there at the Madison Square Garden?
You can put it on record. I will go with the New York Knicks. Wow. Becky Hammon will be down bad when Jalen Brunson wins the title, because I don't think anyone's given. I think they've had a pretty good price this whole year. Obviously, it kind of fluctuates a little bit. You can catch better prices, but I just think everyone's assumed that whoever wins the West will win the NBA Finals. But I really do think the Knicks can match up with the Spurs. And if they get the Spurs, I think that's the matchup they need. And I think they could win. And I think that +370 is probably your best bet of the three on the board.
Wow. You can even do Knicks over Spurs +700 over at DraftKings if you want to bet the exact there. But if you want to just play it straight, Knicks +370. That is bold, because it's like you mentioned, a lot of people have been saying the Western Conference is the real NBA Finals. Not our guy, John Mettler, who you can make sure to check out over at Covers, NBA betting analyst on Twitter at John Mettler. John, we appreciate it as always. Good luck with the bets, man, and be well.
All right, enjoy your Friday, everyone.
Appreciate it, dude. Awesome stuff.
Joining us via the Progressive Guest Line, shots fired at Las Vegas Aces head coach Becky Hammon.
Hey, but this also just brings up, if you believe the Thunder inevitable, this is the last chance to get him at -105.
Yes. Yeah.
Last chance, last call.
Yeah, especially if they win tonight. At -105, ain't going to be there coming up tomorrow morning. We'll wrap up the hour on the other side. This is Follow the Money. Femi Bebefe, Dustin Sweetelson hanging out with you guys here on a Friday. We'll be right back.
quarterback was on coke, if his girlfriend was not tough.
These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's children on these games!
I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country.
All right, let's get to in-pocket plays here on Follow the Money as we wrap up the program. Femi Benfei, Dustin Sweetelson. I will go first here with my plays, Dustin. We'll start in Major League Baseball because I'm going to go in order of the graphic that we have currently posted up there right now. The Athletics and the Padres. Give me the Padres first five on the money line. I'm backing Walker Buehler. I know I'm one of the few people that likes Walker Buehler this year. I think he's a little bit unlucky. ERA 5.01, FIP 3.73. I think that balances out a little bit. Give me this Padres team against the Athletics. They're going to lick the wounds of the Dodgers' loss. They're going to come back home and take care of business against the A's. Also, in the Mariners-Royals game over in Kansas City, I'm going to go with the first five under. Logan Gilbert coming off a brutal start. Like him to bounce back. Noah Cameron, been a little bit mediocre over the stretch run here, but I think he's got some good stuff. I think it just sets up as a game that is going to have fewer runs than what the market expects. That's the first five under four at even money between the M's and the Royals. I also like Mark Vientos of the Mets to hit a homer. Plus 550. Vientos has been struggling this season, but now we're getting to the price where it's just a little enticing. You're giving me plus 550. Meanwhile, Yuri Perez, that guy's been a little shaky. So I like this matchup here. So Mark Vientos to touch them all at plus 550. Finally tonight in Major League Baseball in the Bronx, I'm going to go with the Rays Yankees first five over four. It's at minus 125. I just can't wait to watch this series. I know we're all excited for Gerrit Cole. Good to see him back. But one of the things that I like to do is fade pitchers who are making their debuts. Hasn't pitched in the big league since the 2024 World Series. Also, Nick Martinez, he's been dealing recently. I think he regresses a little against this Yankee lineup. So give me the first five over four, minus 125. And then finally tonight on the ice, let's light the lamp. Over six between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche, minus 115. Part of me believes that Colorado's going to win this game without Cale Makar, but I bet him in game one. I don't want to go back to that one. I think Colorado, though, offensively, they come alive. Vegas will try to do their best to keep up, but I like the over in this game. Over six for me on the ice.
All right, my turn here. Where are we going to start? We're going to start with the NBA. Let's go.
Yeah, baby.
Thunder Spurs game three. I know he has not looked very good this series, but I'm going to go A.J. Mitchell over 21.5 PRA. As soon as the news came out that J-Dub may not play in this game, his PRA did jump from 19.5 to 21.5. I was monitoring it, regretted not getting that good number. But you go back last series, no J-Dub against the Lakers, 35, 38, 29, and 24. Against the Suns, 32 and 23 without J-Dub in the lineup. Give me that all day long. I think A.J. Mitchell just slots into that role and gets a ton of shots to take here on the road in San Antonio. I also added Stephon Castle during the show, over 12.5 rebounds and assists, minus 141. I'm assuming either one of Harper or Fox isn't in. That's more facilitating on the hands of Stephon Castle for that game. So now as far as baseball is concerned, let's begin with that Seattle-Kansas City game because, as you mentioned, Noah Cameron pitching for the Royals. And a guy who's made a living off being a lefty killer would be Rob Refsnyder, the utility outfielder, infielder, whatever you want to call him for Seattle. I went over a half a hit run RBI earlier today, minus 150. I just saw it got moved to 1.5 plus 125. I love the plus 125. I do think he goes off. I took a little nibble, plus 575 to hit a homer. All this guy does is hit lefties. That's his one job as a player. I love him in this spot against Cameron, who really has not been great and doesn't have overpowering stuff. Pitches to contact. So give me that in that game. Nats Braves, really good pitching matchup to go over. Miles Michaelis will come in bulk relief, 6.91 ERA on the year. He did shut out Atlanta last year in six innings, but he's facing Atlanta, who's second in runs per game this season. Bryce Elder on the other side, good this year, but last time he faced Washington, it was a 9-4 game. Atlanta won. He pitches to contact. Nats put the ball in play. The Nats bullpen is horrendous. I love getting even money on the over nine in that contest. The White Sox have Davis Martin taking on the Giants and McDonald. McDonald's been good. Davis Martin's been a stud, and I trust the offense for the White Sox more,
which is a crazy sentence
to say. But over the last, 35, 40 days, they've been one of the better offenses in all of baseball. Currently sweating out the Guardians and the Phils under seven, and we're about to complete a full inning, it looks like.
Has Harper hit a homer yet?
Two out in the bottom of the first. as it's Williams versus Sanchez. So we are 1/9 of the way potentially home to getting our under seven. And then I'm looking at Baltimore with Chris Bassett on the bump. This guy, no matter where he pitches, the A's, Toronto, the Mets, now the Orioles, he is so much better at home than he is on the road. 2.91 home ERA versus 802 on the road this year. Tigers are falling apart. As bad as Baltimore's been, the Tigers are more disappointing big picture. So I'm going to back Bassett pitching at home, taking on Jack Flaherty, who's allowed 19 hits in his last 18 and a third innings. Tigers 0-5 his last five starts. He's got an 8.41 ERA over that course of time. Tigers' six-game losing streak, I think, gets expanded to 7 on the road at Camden.
All right, those are your plays for tonight?
I believe that's all of them.
Hey, we're firing here on a Friday. That's the best way to go into a holiday weekend. Shout out to all of you guys celebrating this weekend, the extended weekend here on Memorial Day. All right. With all those plays, I want to remind everybody, the sports calendar never stops, and the Sharp Plays covers it all. And they've been winning for 15 straight years. All of it documented. Logs posted publicly at sharpplays.com. That kind of transparency, that's rare in this business, I'll tell you that. When the Sharp Plays moves, the sportsbooks take notice. Advanced AI, trusted insider intel, they find the value before the numbers shift. Respected, watched, feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com.
Have some news here via Mitch Johnson. It looks like De'Aaron Fox, Dylan Harper remain game time decisions per Coach Johnson. This just being tweeted out. Johnson on their status is, quote, it's close. That is not helpful at all in any way, shape, or form.
Bro, you're the coach. You make the decision.
No, also, I wouldn't reveal anything. If they were playing, I wouldn't say anything. If they weren't, like, I know we as bettors, we get annoyed because it hurts us with our bets.
Do you think the Thunder would be unprepared? Regardless of situation.
No, but I
like they're ready. What is this? Is this a sleight of hand? Like, what are we doing?
No, I still wouldn't give them the information until the last possible second.
I mean, I guess. I mean, we have a contingency. Like, guess what? If those guys don't play, we're about to blitz the hell out of them like we did in the first, in the second half of last game. And if they do play, guess what? We have our game plan ready to roll. I don't know. I think that stuff sometimes gets a little overrated. Like, the coaches in college football, like, don't take practice. Bro, we have you on film. like, what are we talking about here? How about you execute, huh? Part of that note, though, in terms of Dylan Harper and De'Aaron Fox, Michael C. Wright of ESPN, about 40 minutes ago, tweeted out a video of Dylan Harper going through warmups. He said Dylan Harper looks good to him. He is not a doctor. He might have stayed at a Motel 6 last night, but he is at least saying that Dylan Harper looks good.
Hot take. I'd rather Dylan Harper play than Fox.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there's a level of Harper that is being unlocked in these big pressure moments. And I'll come back to this every single time we bring up Dylan Harper. Him and Ace Bailey were on Rutgers, and they didn't make the NCAA tournament. Steve Peichel, how the heck does he keep his job? These two guys, you didn't make the tournament? Me and Femi could be out there. You should be able to make the tournament.
I guess they spent too much money on Harper and Bailey, and then the rest of the roster was just a bunch of scrubs.
Dude, Harper's awesome.
It was the pickup run over at the Rutgers Rec Center. That's what they had on the team.
I love what I've seen from Harper, and I think they're reaching a point where, like, you just have to unleash him. I hope he's good enough to go. I hope he was held out because of precaution, but he contributes across the board. And those 11 rebounds in game one were freaking crucial for them winning that game.
Yeah, I think Harper's their second best player. If I were in an ideal world, if I'm Mitch Johnson, Harper and Fox are healthy, I'm starting Harper, and I have Fox coming off the bench as like that offensive spark. So you go Fox and Keldon Johnson won sixth man of the year, by the way. Like, you have those guys be your offensive spark off the bench, but Harper is the guy that's playing the minutes who you match up with SGA, so you can throw Harper and Castle at him.
I got two X factors in the game. One, it's the turnovers. Sloppiness with San Antonio, it's led to a ton of points the other way for Oklahoma City. The third is we go back to San Antonio, where Isaiah Hartenstein was irrelevant in game one. And in game two, he was pulling hair. He was throwing elbows. He was very physical with Wembanyama. Do we believe the league is going to allow him to do the same thing with Wemby going back home? I don't think Hartenstein makes the same impact in this game. I considered unders on some of his bets. I didn't get home just in case the league allows it, because remember, the league likes dynasties. Dynasties are a good thing for the NBA. But I don't think Hartenstein gets the same really soft whistle here in game three.
What is the series score after Sunday? After games 3 and 4?
I think we're tied up.
Tied at 2, going back to OKC for a best of 3?
We're going seven. It feels inevitable. These teams are so close to each other, and then one's got an alien.
I think if Fox and Harper are healthy, we're going 3-1 back to OKC. San Antonio's up. If those guys are not healthy, and they're not playing. I actually think we're going 3-1 back to OKC with the Thunder up. I think these injuries are that crucial. So, like, San Antonio, if they're healthy, they will win. If those guys are not healthy, this is quicker than we all think.
And the Knicks have not lost since April 23rd. Will they lose a game this weekend?
We're going back 2-2 to the Garden.
Oh, he's still high on the Cavs.
Just got to make shots. Going to Kenny Atkinson. Just got to make our shots. We got good shot quality. Kenny Atkinson, I can't wait for his second act as a college basketball tout.
I would say that is the number one achievement. If you want to win games, you do have to make more shots.
You do have to make shots. All right. We made shots, hopefully, at least in your guys' eyes. Oh. In our eyes, we did. So whatever you think doesn't care. But thank you for hanging out with us here on Follow the Money. For Dustin Sweetelson, for Luke DeVasa, our entire crew behind the glass, I'm Femi Bebface saying good luck with all the bets. VSiN Primetime with Matt Humans and Will Hill coming up next.